This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with Ben Jarofsky of the Chicago Reader. Welcome to the broadcast, Ben.
Thank you.
Today we're talking about Ben's column titled Money for Nothing that appeared in the Reader on March 12th, 2009. This article talks about the Jefferson Park Tax Increment Financing District. And in this article, Ben, you talk about how the city declared this district some years ago and then shortly thereafter demolished much of the south side of the 5200 block of West Lawrence Avenue, except for this bike shop that's right in the middle of it. And then 8 years later, today, the land pretty much stands empty. And you talk about sort of the history of that and what's happening recently. By the way, our listeners can see a map of that TIF district by going to the description for this interview at MrRadio.org.
Okay.
So the first thing that struck me about this district is there's sort of a double whammy going on. First of all, by its very nature, the TIF district siphons off property taxes into the TIF fund. So as a city, we're losing property taxes there.
Right.
But secondly, we're also losing property tax income because all that land is vacant. Vacant land is taxed at a lower rate than land with buildings on it. So it's kind of a double whammy.
Well, it's actually a triple whammy because on top of the fact that the land that's owned by property taxpayers is worth less, so it's drawing less, and the fact that the land itself is in a TIF district, which means whatever property taxes they do pay does not go to the schools and the parks, etc. There's the third factor, and that is this, that in its stumbling efforts to develop this site, the city has purchased some of the property. So we spent property tax dollars in order to take property off the tax rolls. So we spent money to lose money only in the city of Chicago.
And that property that the city bought, since it's city owned, that's not collecting any property taxes at all.
That's
so you might
point.
Say it's the quadruple. It's the
Okay, yeah, it's a quadruple whammy.
Because they bought it and then they're not paying property taxes.
So
what is that in horse racing? There's a trifecta and then there's the quin.
Yeah, it's the quintuple or something. I used to go to the track, too.
Really?
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
Much of the land on that block is owned, at least on one side of the bike shop, the land is owned by a guy named Demetrius Kazonis, who is president of a company called Delco Construction, D-E-L-K-O. And recently what happened in that area is a city moved to buy the land that Kazonis owns, but they did something differently than when they took property originally from the existing owners on the other side. In those cases, they used eminent domain, but in Kozanis' case, they're apparently just going to have a friendly buyout deal. And you refer to this guy by saying he's a well-connected developer, and perhaps that's the context in which this happens. What did you mean by he's well-connected?
He has connections to the political organization in the area. That would be Patrick LaVar, Alderman Patrick LaVar's organization. He was Alderman LaVar's chosen developer on this site. And keep in mind, the land was being used. It wasn't the highest use, but it was being used. There was a tire store. There was a bike shop. This other property owner wanted to put a strip mall on his property, and there were people living in a two-flat there. But from the get-go, from the moment the city decided that it was in the best interest of the public to spend property tax dollars developing this land, he was the chosen developer. And one does not get such a prominence without being, you know, well-connected in this town.
Do you have any other evidence that he's got connections?
He's done other TIF deals throughout town. He is part of the mayor's sister city program with Athens, I think it is.
He's chair of the Athens Sister City Committee.
Yeah, you've obviously looked it up on the internet.
God bless
the internet. God bless. You know, he was Alderman LaVar's landlord for years when development that Kazonis put a little bit to the north of this site that I'm writing about, of this undeveloped site, what is called Veterans Square, I believe it is. For years, LaVar had his headquarters there. So that's what I meant by well-connected.
Then this stretch of land that we're talking about showed up on the February agenda of the Community Development Commission. Again, for our listeners who want to know more about the CDC, they can listen to our interview from January 17th, 2008, which we sort of took apart the CDC and how it works and what it's responsible for. But anyway, in this recent development, the city wanted approval to buy the land that Mr. Kazonis owns. And citizens from the area got wind of this, as you described in your article, and they showed up at the CDC meeting and objected because, as I said earlier, they said, well, why, if you took the property, you, the city, took the property that was there before under eminent domain, you're not doing it with Kazonis. You're going to give him, you know, more money than you might have to pay if you were seizing land under eminent domain. And the result of all of that, as you describe in your article, is that this outcry by the citizens delayed approval by the CDC. Is this a rare thing for, you know, the CDC train to be brought to a screeching halt like that?
Yes, it is rare. It's very rare. Before we get into this, this is sad that had that sale gone through and it may very well at some future point go through. That would be what? A quintuple? It's a quinella.
Quintuple. I think it's quintuple.
It would be a quintuple whammy, a fifth whammy, because we would be buying the land from Cozonas that we wanted him to develop it. So we'd be effectively buying him out after buying land that he was supposed to buy from us. As the article points out, the land to the east of the bike shop, which the city forced its property owner to sell through eminent domain, was supposed to have been immediately purchased by Cozonas to develop the entire block. He never purchased that land, so the city ended up purchasing that land. A five-time whammy. It was stopped because a group of activists who live in Jefferson Park, led by Ron Ernst, came down and raised holy hell about it.
But we've seen other CDC meetings where angry citizens have shown up, and that hasn't stopped the CDC from doing whatever it planned to do to begin with.
Yes, but actually the CDC often, if there is strong opposition, will defer a matter. Okay, now this is, the city is walking away. They're pulling the proposal from the table. That's the real difference here. For instance, I'll give you an example. Not long ago, there was the infamous eminent domain case at Western and Lawrence involving the soccer store. I wrote about it. We talked about it. When all the residents who and the business owners who didn't want to be displaced came down and yelled at the CDC meeting, they deferred the matter for a month to give the residents time to work out their disagreements with the local aldermen. Those disagreements were not worked out. Subsequently, they came back a month later and they approved the deal. Okay, and now it died in the city council. Eventually, everybody came to their senses and killed that deal. But the point is, the CDC is a sort of a conservative body. They're charged with overseeing these TIF-funded development deals, and they don't like it when it's a messy situation, when they have to confront a room filled with angry residents who feel that they're being betrayed. As CDC members will put it at these hearings, we want you, meaning the Community Development Department itself or the Planning Department, we want you to work all this stuff out before you bring it to us. We should not have to listen to this, which is kind of an interesting view on their role and responsibility. I view them as sort of a quasi-judicial oversight board that would do the thumbs down if there was something wrong with the project. They seem to view themselves merely as a rubber stamp that is just fulfilling the statutory requirement that state law has that somebody stamp approval on this.
Even a rubber stamp doesn't want to get yelled at.
Yeah, they view themselves as a rubber stamp that doesn't want to get yelled at. So they're offended by the fact, the concept of being yelled at. So it's not that unusual, I suppose, for them to say, let's just put this off for a month or so while you work these things out. What is unusual is for them to pull the proposal from the table. And I have no idea what the future of this site is. It's not really clear from what the city says, what the city is going to do. I don't know if the city knows what it's going to do. It could be that they're just waiting for everything to calm down, and then they can come back and buy the land from Cozonas. But at the moment, it's not at all clear.
We'll keep our eye on it, and maybe we'll be talking about it again. Ben Jarowski, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
This is Dave Gloetz. We've been speaking about the rest of the story. When you have a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.